Greetings to everyone and welcome. This is the greatest night of your life. You probably heard me say that a few times.
Just a couple.
I'm here with my beautiful daughter, Duray, and you know what? I preached since I was a kid, and to be able to sit here with my daughters and be able to talk about God and minister to everyone that has an ear to hear, it's just such a it's a joy to me. I could talk about that tonight. It's not what we're going to talk about, but it's just a real joy. So thanks for joining me, doll.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is my oldest daughter, not old, oldest, and we're going to talk about a real important subject tonight that really, if you get this, you feel like a giant. You feel like a spiritual giant if you get, and I'm going to let them tell them in just a minute what this is, but if you can get this, you really get it and hold on to it or let it hold on to you, this makes you feel like a giant, because when you get this, this makes you feel good, makes you feel great, and it changes everything to do with everything, how you perceive life as a whole and how successful you become in life in Christ. So what is the this we're talking about?
The this we're talking about is peace, staying in your perfect peace.
And perfect is a key word. People are afraid of the word perfect. And the reason is because two things. Number one, it just seems out of bounds, out of touch, out of with reality and out of reach. No one's perfect. I've heard that so many times, I just started saying, I am perfect. And I would pause and say, in Christ. I am the perfect will of God. I am perfectly purposed. And that does something to you. Number one, it takes doubt out of your mind. And that doubt is the doubt of how close a relationship you have with Christ. And it helps you get perfect peace. And if we think about our salvation, we think about God, we think about peace, and we don't think about it in part, like I've got a little peace, or we think about it because, number one, it's a gift from God, and we think about it as God. And the scripture you just are about to read, I know because you shared with me, that really is a key, and that transformed my life. And to hear you talk about it and how it's impacted you, that just makes me really happy and excited. So would you like to read the, or whatever you have would like to share?
Absolutely. The scripture has transformed my life tremendously. It's something, if I don't read it every day, I'm quoting it in my mind, because it just helps you in anything you're going through, no matter what. If it's someone in a car in front of you who cuts you off, and it's so easy, we don't think about it, but all the little things that steal our peace really add up, and they can really, really affect you.
Yeah, on the freeway, if you want to lose your peace, and you just get on the freeway in California, the 5, or just about any place, and especially if it's raining, or not, or if it's sunny, or the wind's blowing, or it's calm, or whatever it is, and you do. Having a set or an established mind is important, but that's really important. So you can keep, and you said something, it all adds up. So go ahead and share the scripture you have and whatever God puts on your heart. We just want to minister to the people. We want you to have perfect peace.
Yeah.
And can I ask you this question?
Yes.
Have you ever, honestly, you and Dad and just a couple people
just
out there,
a few.
Have you ever lost your peace?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. And I think that's a big misconception, is if you're going to church every Sunday, you're a pastor's kid, doesn't matter, you can still absolutely lose your peace, because it's something you have to get for yourself. You can hear it every single Sunday or Thursday whenever you have church services, but unless you get it for yourself, your peace isn't going to be there.
And I'm going to ask you a question. We didn't talk about this. How did you go about getting it? What did you do?
You have to become hungry. Mm. Having enough hard knocks makes you hungry. And it does.
It does. I say there's two ways to learn. Either believe the word or through experience. They're both great teachers.
Yep.
One just hurts a lot more and leaves more scar tissue than the other.
Yep.
And that's the experience one. And we've all had our share of scars and experience, but after a while, if you just say, I'm gonna see what God and His Word says about this, that's where I'm going to get what I need.
Yeah.
Makes life easier, right?
Absolutely. And I will say, though, one thing about having experience and having those scars, you remember them. Uh-huh. They stay, and you don't want to go back.
Yeah.
So That's for me. That I have those scars. I've been there. I've walked without peace, and it is not something I will ever go back to, ever.
Okay, and I have to address something you just said. You made it. You put that wheel of faith in your hands. You said it's something I will never go back to.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing you say is that power is mine, and the power is yours because it's a gift from God.
Yeah.
And it's the ability to make the decision, I am or I'm not. Yeah. I mean, peace doesn't just come, and peace doesn't just go.
No.
It's either received or rejected.
Yeah.
So go ahead and share your scripture.
So this is the scripture that has helped me tremendously, and it's, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be fearful. I think peace is one of the most precious gifts that we've received from God. And it's, I think, a gift that we easily give away. It's just, you can let anyone steal your peace. Anybody, someone, like I said, in the car, maybe someone you're connected to, maybe a friend or someone you've been in a relationship with, and you're giving such a precious gift away by letting them have the gift, your gift of peace. You're giving that away. You're giving that power to them when it's no one's but yours. No one's but yours.
How do you do that? What does that mean? If you give it, how did they take it?
You give your gift away. You just let your peace slip. You forget who you are in Him, and you become like the world.
There you go. Forget who you are. So then, what you're saying is who we really are is peace.
Absolutely.
And the gift Christ gave us was our true identity.
Yeah.
That's what He said. John 14:27 is what you just read, the scripture you just read. And that changed, like I said earlier, that changed my life. Giving it away means I'm going to follow you to get what I want, or I'm going to follow that to get what I want. And it's also can be, you know, when we lose our identity, we lose our identity. What does that mean? I remember as a kid hearing, I want to find out who I am. And I used to think that's such a dumb statement. Find out who I am. What does that mean? You don't know who you are? But people do lose their identity.
Yeah.
When you do not identify with who Christ in you is, and that is a revelation, but that's a gift, then you don't know who you are. And you follow other things or other people, or the word calls it the lusts or the desire of the flesh, whether it's for money, fame, satisfaction through whatever it may be.
Yeah.
When you look for satisfaction outside of God's intended purpose for your life, the Word of God, who He's made you to be, your peace, you give it away.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're referring to. That's what I'm hearing you say. Because when you say that, it just, bells go off in my head, and I just hear, this is how, and this is why, and this is when. Because we've all done it. You know, we've all looked for peace in, you know, if I can just, you know, a preacher can do it. If I can just reach more people, if I can just, you know, have a greater voice, if I can just, you know, build a bigger church or a bigger platform, that I'll, you know, I'll be, no, it's, you have to find your peace where you are.
Yeah. Absolutely. And two, like my mama said, we had a women's meeting not too long ago, and she said, you know what, you wake up in your mind and you go to bed with your mind. And I think that's something we forget too. If you don't control your mind's going to control you, and you are not going to have any peace unless your mind has stayed on Him.
That is huge. So then I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to pull on your gift. How do you control your mind?
Deny yourself. Stop thinking so much about yourself. Think about the Word. Read the Word. The Word is written about us. It's not just, hey, here's a guide to life. Good luck. It's written about us. It's written in our hearts. So when you follow your peace, you're following the Word of God. So.
Wow, that's good. So that's that scripture. It's no longer I that lives. And what makes life difficult and challenging for any believer, anybody, is when you think it's something that I'm going to have to, I just got to put my, and you do put your all into it in the sense that you lay your life down. It's what Christ did. He came and He said, I'm laying my life down. The difference is He didn't know sin, but He became our identity. In other words, He said, I'm doing this for you. I'm taking on the identity of your sin. And I'm nailing it to the cross, and I'm doing it for a reason. I want you to see what I'm doing. I want you to take on this identity. And people don't. They do the Garden of Eden syndrome. You know, I think there's something I can get outside of what God said because it just looks right. It looks exciting or tempting or desirable. But we say this all the time. I said it, I believe, Wednesday last. The flesh tempts you, and then it punishes you. But what is the flesh, really? What is it? It's any part of us that tries to get something outside of the Word and the will of God. And people will say a lot of times, well, I'm in the permissible will of God, but not the will of God, kind of softening. And I know what they're saying. I understand. But there is no permissible will. Just because God doesn't stop it doesn't mean that it's any part of His will. What we're saying is, I haven't been checked yet. You know, I haven't been stopped yet. I haven't faced the consequences of my actions yet. But there's only one will of God, and He made that will so easy. And when you do, you walk in perfect peace. Yeah. And that changes your world. I want to read a scripture. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace," this is what you were saying, "whose mind is stayed on you." And why would I keep my mind on you? Because I trust you. That's why. So step one, you lost your peace. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. Your life's a mess. You know, someone out there saying, that's where I am. That's how I feel. What do you do? What's the first step?
Get in the Word. That's the first step. Look up online. Online is a huge thing right now. It has been for a while, but look online, look up scriptures for peace. Whatever you're going through, look up a scripture relating to that, and you will find one that resonates with you. That would be my first step, absolutely. And then read it, repeat it over and over and over. If you start feeling like you're losing your peace, go back to that. That's why anytime I feel challenged or just, I like it as a good reminder, just peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. It's just, it's such a precious gift, and that's just, that would absolutely be where I would start. Just find a scripture of what you're maybe finding, trying, and then read it and repeat it until it just becomes a part of you.
Yeah, that read it, repeat it. It's, and what you're doing is you're taking on a consciousness that is different than the one that's stealing your peace.
Yeah.
And when you do that, I mean, and you can testify to this, I know because we've talked about it many times. When you do that, something transformational happens. The Word says that dead letter, or the letter of the law, is dead. It means it's, you look at that letter and you say, I have to do this. It's something I need to do. It's something I have to do. But the Spirit makes that letter alive. And the key is, be hungry. I mean, don't just want a way out. Find a way out.
Yeah.
And the Scripture says, seek and you'll find. So if you're hungry, if you want a way out of your depression, anxiety and depression, it's a very dominant part of a lot of people's lives. Maybe always, but you certainly hear a great deal more about it today.
Yeah.
And it robs you of feeling like the giant God has created you to be.
Yeah.
You know, David went up against Goliath, and the Word says he took a lamb out of a lion's mouth, and he walked with such great power. But he was a psalmist, and what he did is that he kept his mind on God. Even if you feel like, man, I messed up. And listen, it isn't about saying I messed up, right? Everyone has made bad judgment calls.
Yeah.
But when you know, and here's the key, when you know that is not my identity. I took on a false identity. You're not relating to being that person.
Yeah.
And your peace comes back when you relate to this is who I am. Scripture, John 14:27. He said, peace I
leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I actually want to read something, because this is something that we hear, of course, the world say, but it's also started to kind of go into the church, especially with the grace message and, you know, oh, I'm going to mess up. I'm a sinner, as you know, Lenny talked about a week or so ago. But I wanted to read this. This is the definition of only human. Used for saying someone has been weak in ways that most people are weak and should not be blamed for their behavior. Nowhere in that does that have anything to do with our call or the Lord in our life. So if you're thinking like that, absolutely, you're going to have depression, anxiety, your peace out the window, because I'm weak. I'm only human. I'm weak like the world is. There's no strength in that. There's nothing uplifting. Nothing's going to give you peace from that. So then we go back to our scripture that we're going to keep repeating. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not, I'm only human, I'm weak. Peace. You're not weak. In Christ, we're never weak, ever. And that's a big misconception in the world today.
Yeah, that's really, really good. You know, it's so important to put yourself in a position. It's important to go to church.
Yeah.
But it's just as important to find some place that doesn't give you a way out.
Yeah.
That doesn't blame a devil or a spirit or a person or being human for weakness, for inability or lacking the capability or the source or the resource or the heart to be who you are. And who are we? We are created in Christ. The Word says, so who am I? The Word says, you are His workmanship. Created in what? In perfect peace. Created in righteousness. Created in joy. And you know what? It's sadly enough, because of a lot of times believing, don't believe what someone tells you, believe what the Word tells you.
Yeah.
And then when someone begins to bring revelation or insight to that word and it quickens you, it makes you alive, that's the word of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Religion makes it seem difficult. And then when that happens, we're only human, we're all going to sin, we're going to fall. Then what happens is you have to, in place of that, you have to raise some kind of idol. You know, idolatry was saying, I'm not going to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. So I need to raise up something I can look to and say, there's my strength. And people think of it, whether it's money or fame or whatever it is you're looking for, none of it will give you what comes only from trust in God and the Word of God, and that's perfect peace. That isn't something that someone can take away.
No.
You said it in the beginning, and that was so important. You have to give it away.
Yeah.
And an excuse is you giving your peace away. We are more spirit than we are human. I've said this over and over and over and over again. And the Word says, and this is how you crush that idea of we're only human, no one's perfect. Stop talking about what you are not and talk about who He is and identify with Him. And that's where your peace comes in. That's why it's important to read the Word. You identify with Him. I mean, there's so much information out there today that's really discouraging, certainly not encouraging, and hopeless in the sense that it doesn't give you any direction to anything great happening. And the Word says, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because you trust in me. And then the Word says also, what things soever are lovely, what soever things are good, if there be any virtue, any praise, anything praiseworthy, think on these things, because it's like the shield of faith. Peace will protect you. Peace makes you strong. Peace gives you creative ideas. It opens up your mind to the mind of Christ because Jesus is our peace. It's not just something He gives you. How does He give it to you? He enters into you with His Word, with His Spirit, and we take on. It's an incredible miracle. It's a mystery of God. I read about Him being peace. I read the Word. And that, like you said, key is hunger. I'm hungry for it, and bam, your mind, you have peace. We say all the time in our house, and I hear your mother say it all the time. She says, you begin to lose your peace when you're thinking about something incorrectly.
Yeah.
You're thinking about it in that when it's not in line with the Word of God. And that's what causes you to lose. And I like what you said. It's more than a loss. It's giving away a very precious gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And something, too, that we do unintentionally, I think, it's just a habit we end up forming very easily, is being able to point a finger. In the church, it's the devil. We are our own devil. When we always have to have a point of, you know, someone to blame, that you're your own devil. Because you can't take accountability, you don't have repentance, you're imprisoning yourself. And there's no peace in that. There's no peace, there's no joy, there's nothing. Because if we always have someone to blame, when do we ever repent?
There you go. And that's it. That's the excuse factor. You know, you don't have to have someone taking it from you. It's when God brings us to a point, something happens in our lives. James says, count it all joy when you fall into different trials of your faith. And that sounds like kind of a strange, like, I mean, who's going to count it joy when something challenging comes? And we've all been there where it's like, boy, I wish that didn't happen, or I wish this didn't happen. But if you take on the attitude, and I know in our home it's a staple, whatever just took place, I know God is directing us. Maybe we're seeing it sideways. We're not seeing what God's doing. So what do? You get afraid, you lose. No, but this is our foundation. I know God is has ordained our steps. I know God is doing something incredible, and it will be greater. It will have even a greater appearance of what was great before. It increases, and your peace seems to increase. And what it really happens is that your foundation under you gets stronger. How does it get stronger? You stop stepping off of it. You stay on it. You remain there, and that's what you're talking about. How do you do it? You said, I keep reminding myself. I keep going back to this word. I keep going back, and I identify with that. That is me. That's me. That's why I'm always saying, let your ear hear your mouth say, that's me. Because we the word says, a fountain can't be both bitter and sweet. It's one or the other. And it's our words. Yeah. It's our mind. You can't say, I'm crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And then the next breath, you're saying, I'm only human. I'm going to forget what you're not and think about who he is. Forget your inabilities and realize it just doesn't matter. And that's what changes your mind. It's his ability. Christ is living in me. I didn't just come and say, your sister and I talked about this. It's not just that I'm forgiven. It's that I'm changed. I'm changed. And say it, I'm changed. He's made me a perfect example of his will and of his purpose. That makes you a giant. Then you can do anything. Anything. You can do it. That's where that faith, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need peace to walk in that.
Absolutely. Peace can feel like a superpower. And once you have it, you don't want to let it go. And you do whatever you can to keep it. And it's so simple to keep it. We complicate things. It's so simple. Stay in the Word. Remind yourself. Read it over and over and over. I don't care what your friends are saying, your family, your spouse. It doesn't matter. Remind yourself who you are in him, and your peace will remain.
Yes and amen. And I know we're running out of time here. I'm just going to say, keep yourself in perfect peace by keeping your mind stayed on him. John 14:27, it's a gift. Isaiah 26:3, he keeps you there. He keeps you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Let's pray for everybody, and pray for the peace you've got, the peace God has given to me. We've all experienced our different challenges in life through whatever. But when you can start looking at things through a different lens, and you're looking through the lens of peace, and that tells you how it's going to turn out, you don't have to wait for it to unfold. I mean, I have gotten genuinely excited when I've seen something change, or it looked like, man, this plane's going down, or this is a train derailment. I get excited, and I'll tell you why, because I do what you said. I go to the Word and say, there's no way. We say it all the time. What do we say? Only
good will happen to us.
Only good will happen to me. Where did I get that? I got it from the 23rd Psalm. Only good will happen to me. Only goodness and mercy. The literal translation is, only good will happen to me. And I'm going to stay in the presence of the Lord forever. So that is my foundation. And I don't want to get off of it. So I stay there. So when things try and come, I say, I know this is exciting because something really big is coming. And we always say, this is the greatest day of your life. And we say, something great is going to happen today. It's the Word of God. It's the mind of God. It's the goodness of God. And you're surrendering to that. So let's pray for everyone tonight. Father, we just pray for your people. And we pray this. Let the peace of God reign and rule in their hearts. I pray for eyes to be opened, ears to hear, for transformation in the mind. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to them, the body, the church. God be glorified. We thank you for perfect peace. We thank you for the greatest season of our lives today. We can make that our
faith. We can make that our words. We can make that our foundation. We can make that our vision for the present and the future. Something great, only good, is going to happen to you tonight. God is with you in spirit and power. And I declare only good's going to happen to you. You're going to see the greatest things unfold before your very eyes as the eyes of the Spirit tell you what is about to take place. God's good, and His thoughts towards us are so many, so good. We couldn't even count them if we wanted to. That's how great God is and how good He is in His thoughts towards you. The peace of God rule in your heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is a great season for you. The altar is open. Your support is so important. It means a lot to us, to the ministry, but it means a lot to the people that we're able to touch through the word we get to share. And it means a lot to you. God's given us, He's made us connected. He's brought us together. And when you sow a seed in the soil of the word, it turns into something far more than you can physically sow. It changes into something very spiritual, very powerful, and very profound. God bless you. Stay encouraged and keep your peace. Until next time, God bless you.